Today's episode is brought to you by Jarja Media. Jarja Media is actually a marketing company that I run. Whether you're looking for a CRM, a customer relationship manager, I personally built, took my own money, years of my own time to make sure that this was what you needed as somebody in the real estate industry. Also, within Jarja Media, if you need websites, if you need a transaction coordinator, like the idea that so many of you are still handling your own transactions when you should be out there creating new business, we offer TCs, transaction coordinators, marketing reps, whatever you need for that, make sure you check out jarjamedia.com, J-A-R-J-A-M-E-D-I-A, jarjamedia.com. At the same time, if you are in need of a coach, if you're in need of training, whether it's one-on-one coaching, whether it's training for you, your office, your managers, or you're just looking to hire someone to speak at your event, you want the event to go really well, make sure you check out jaredjamestoday.com. Anything you need is there. Check these places out.
You are now listening to Today with Jared James.
Hey everyone, Jared James here, and welcome to episode 46 of Today with Jared James. As always, make sure that you subscribe and leave a five-star review and even a written review on the platform that you're listening to this on. It helps us out a lot, guys. You can leave as many reviews as you want on there. This is continuing in our series right now. We're doing the happy hour with Jared James, with the leaders in the real estate industry, the CEOs and the presidents and these people that run these major brands, you know, during this time when so many are quarantining, to kind of get their thoughts and hear their backstories and just get a little deeper and hear from them in the way that I talk to them, not the way that so many people might view them. And so on this episode, I have a conversation with Sherry Criss. Sherry Criss is the CEO of Expansion Brands at Realogy, which include, you know, ERA, Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate. Those are the companies that she's running right now. And I think you're really going to love the insight in this conversation to her struggle coming up and how difficult it was to get to where she is and her thoughts on where she is right now and all of that kind of insight. Again, we did these on my Facebook profile at we did them through Facebook Live. But then we just kind of, we ripped the audio. We're putting them on here. We put them up on my YouTube channel. So make sure you listen intently. I mean, these are really cool conversations. And if you enjoy them, guys, go to connectwithjared.com and tag these people and say thank you to them for having these conversations. Tune in, guys. I think you are going to enjoy this one with Sherry Criss.
All right. I think we are live. So let's give this a second here for people to hop in. I'm going to jump back on my thing here. Yes, it says that we are live. So Sherry Criss, how are you?
Jared, I'm good, actually. I'm sitting in my condo in Toronto, Canada. So that's where I chose to self-isolate. So I'm here.
Awesome. So guys, I am excited today. Almost said tonight. Today, I've got Sherry Criss here, who's the CEO of Realogy Expansion Brands, which include ERA, which includes Better Homes and Gardens, BHGRE, you know, two amazing brands. And this is just a continuation of my series right now, where what we're trying to do is we're doing happy hour with the leaders of these brands to kind of like allow people to see us in a different light, to see you in a different light. And, you know, during this unprecedented time right now, to kind of hear like what you think, learn more about you, but then also what do you think about right now? I mean, you and the other people I'm talking to, they really run this industry. And so what are we thinking? What, you know, what is the forecast? What's going on? I do want to say to everybody who's in here, this is happy hour. So if you have something, do me a favor, take a picture of it. Cheers. You can put a picture in the comments below. Make sure, especially if you've got an agent or know someone that is from ERA or BHGRE, tag them below, share this, let's get it out. But even people outside of that, you know, when you look at all of these ones that I'm doing right now, this is really about hearing from our leaders overall, okay? So don't be afraid to have your agents hearing me talk to someone who's not from your brand or otherwise. Chances are your brand CEO is coming up as well. So make sure, guys, take a picture there. Let's put it in there. Sherry, are you, it's happy hour, so what are you partaking of right now?
Well, Jared, I have a little different drink for this afternoon. So this is an espresso. I have an espresso machine. And I have a skull espresso cups and my skull ring, because some people know this, but not everybody. I collect skulls.
You collect skulls now, human skulls or other skulls?
Just sell, jewelry and handbags and stuff. I like skulls because, you know, many people think that a skull depicts death, but in fact, a skull depicts life.
Interesting.
It's part of our bodies. And it actually, to me, means life. And so there are two different meanings. However, Jared, I will show you, if I may, that I do have alcohol close at hand for later. I don't know whether, can you see that? My cute little.
I can. You told me you were going to use that, but it was all empty.
Well, there, as you know, I'm embarrassed to say is that many of them are getting close to empty. So we're going to have to do something about that.
Do you think as a result of this whole thing right now, and I'm completely serious right now, like, I think drinking has gone like through the roof with the whole quarantine thing. Like, I set myself up here. I don't really drink that often, but obviously I'm doing these happy hours every single day. So I've kind of set myself up, but I'm watching what's going on social. I was talking to the guy who runs the local liquor store the other day. I think it has like absolutely, like, AA meetings are going to be full when this is all over. I guess.
It's crazy, but yesterday I went for a walk, and here in Ontario, Canada, the liquor store is regulated by the government. And so is open. It's an essential business. And I walked by a liquor store yesterday, and the police were out in front. There was a huge lineup of people. They had them 6 feet, distanced properly. People were yelling at one another, like, I don't know, somebody might have tried to get in line first or something. Oh, so I'm like, holy F, this is crazy. So
nuts that it's an essential business. Like, I was talking about that with someone the other day, like in the US as well. Like, how are we just, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not mad about it, but how are we justifying that this is an essential business?
I don't know. I guess somebody must have thought that if people are able to have a drink, that they might be more calm, and you know, they might enjoy it. Here's something else, is that marijuana is legal here. And so the dispensary, I walked by a dispensary yesterday, and the same thing, police out front, lineups of people trying to get in to get their pot. And I'm thinking the same thing. So it's an essential business that's allowed to be open as well. Now, this has nothing to do with real estate, of course.
But a lot of the stuff we talk about doesn't. We'll get to real estate, but I mean, that's kind of the whole point of this, is that, you know, look, we would, if we were just talking, if we were at somewhere and like, you know, whatever, our whole conversation wouldn't just be real estate.
No.
Let's face it, we talk it all the time, you know? Guys, kudos to you. Right now we're up to, it looks like, about 250 people on here live. Give this a share, guys. Put your comments below, like, have some fun with this. Cheers each other, ask questions. I'll take a look at them later. We'll go look at it again. God, I've been doing these lately and they're getting 300, 400, 500, 600, 700 comments in them, which is so cool, but I can't, you know, I usually read them in the middle of the night and then go back and laugh and see what they're saying. But, let's get started right off the bat here. Okay. So, first off, like I said, I appreciate you being on, and not just being on, everybody doesn't know this, but you responded immediately. You know, I can't remember if I think I texted you, and, literally like right away, you were like, I'm in, when do you want to do it? And I appreciate that, because a lot of times when you're dealing with the CEOs, they're like, let me pass you over to PR and let's check this and whatever. And, not everyone, but one company did that. And I just didn't even respond. I was like, all right, goodbye. You're like missing the point right now. So, kudos to you for doing that. Okay.
Oh, thanks. You know, we all have to help each other right now. And, you know, one of the good things that will come out of this, Jared, I believe strongly, is that because we're helping each other right now, that, that attitude will translate into the future as well. And so once the new normal comes to be, which we don't know exactly what that's going to look like yet, but I think it'll be different than the past, that hopefully we're a more collaborative industry overall, and we're actually helping each other succeed rather than looking at each other as competitors.
Part of the whole point of this whole thing right now, right? Like, I've had some brands and stuff get mad at me when I'm like, when they're like, well, why are you talking to so-and-so? You know, why are you... And my thing is, look, like, we need to understand right now, like, put your big boy pants on and understand that, like, we're in this together, and stop with the petty crap. Like, this is about the industry and the people that we're supposed to serve. you know, recovering and getting to where they need to go. And it's not about whether it comes from your leader or another leader or whoever. Like, we're in this together right now. We can get back to competing and all that. Like, right now, let's just understand we're in this together. So I appreciate that. I want to know, I've asked everyone this and I'm curious from you. How's it been working at home? Do you have any pets or anything? Or like, is it been isolating? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Is it, have you gotten on any calls yet and realized that like, oh my God, I haven't even showered yet. Like, what am I doing? Like,
all of the above. So, you know, I actually posted something on Instagram and Facebook, two little dogs. One was a dog that was, on Zoom with audio only, you know, all disheveled and everything. And then the other dog was all dressed, like glasses, lipstick, you name it, earrings, jewelry. And so it is, I'm on my own. So it's just me. And, but I'm happy to be here. And here's why. From a personal perspective, I have family and friends around me. I can't see any of them. Well, there's one
person. You're from Canada, right? Like, you're originally
from Canada. Yeah, I'm from Canada. And I actually bought this home in August. And so I just finished renovating and decorating it. And I hardly ever get a chance to be here.
So is it a home, a condo, an apartment? What is it?
Yeah, it's a condo in a boutique building right in a, you know, nice part of downtown Toronto. And so I love it because I can enjoy, you know, my labor of love over the past several months. And I actually feel good every morning.
You're finally getting to actually go to the place that you fixed up and like, you know, you were
exactly
not getting to see that often.
That's good. And I let one person in to visit me, and that is one of my family members who I know is safe. And she, you know, is also working from home. And so what we've done is each, you know, few days, one of us cooks for the other one. So it forces you to do something rather than just order in, you know, junk food.
I thought I read somewhere that you like to cook.
I do. Yeah, I love to cook.
By the way, I get that. I helped my wife last week. Like, I've never been a cook. I've never anything. And then early on in our relationship, I learned how to cook something because I did it for her for Valentine's Day, just kind of. And I thought it was going to like suck. Like, why am I doing this? You know, whatever. And what I never expected was how much I enjoyed her enjoying that food, you know, to the point where.
That's what cooking is.
Yeah, yeah, I never even thought of it that way. Like, food to me was always to fulfill a hunger. And then to watch that was amazing. So then last week, one of the byproducts of, you know, this whole quarantining and being home was, it was Sunday. And I'm like, you know what? Let's, what are we cooking? Like, I'll help you cook, right? And it was all over. It got a ton of views on Instagram, in other words, because it was like a big joke, whatever. But like, I helped her cook manigots, and, you know, we made them homemade.
Fabulous.
And the whole thing. And I'm making my Italian sounds. And it's one of those things that, you know, you're really busy. It's tough to do, but I completely get it. Like, I get why people enjoy it because of what it does for the people that you're actually working with them.
You know, Jared, it's just like everything. When you think about taking that outside of cooking and being kind to people and doing things for them and not asking for anything in return, that is, you know, it's part of what makes your heart expand and smile. And so cooking is one, but also helping each other and helping those in need right now is another important part of what we should be doing.
Plenty of opportunity for it. I want to, from a business side, I thought I read somewhere, and I don't know if you're allowed to talk about this or not. I thought I read somewhere that Ryan Schneider, who is the head of Realogy, was recently cutting corporate salaries. Like, he cut his to 10% of what it was. And anybody who's a direct report is cut to 50% of what they were making before. Are you allowed to?
I can talk about that. Yes.
Okay, so did that happen? And did that affect
happens.
You?
Yes, it's public knowledge. We, as a public company, filed an 8K every time there's a material change in what we do. And so that was a material change. So what we agreed to do as a company is all of our US employees, their salaries are cut. So depending on what, you know, bracket of earnings you're in. So it started with Ryan at 90% cut and then went down. So we're all cut significantly.
Did we say how long that's going to go for? Or like, what's the, like, did you guys discuss that? Or it's just kind of like a TBD?
Month by month. So as we need it. And, you know, for us, I mean, we need to remain viable as a corporation and a company, we also need to service our franchisees and help them remain viable out in the marketplace as well. And so we all willingly did that. And I can tell you that my team for both brands, they're working like 12, 18 hours a day to keep everything going and provide all of the information that needs to. So I think, you know, it's kind of like a badge of honor that we've done this. And, you know, we're in it for the long run.
You felt like it was a time to do it, not just from the financial standpoint, but also from the message that it gives. For those of you that are watching that aren't familiar, you know, Realogy is an overall brand that owns companies, or the parent company of companies like ERA, Better Homes and Gardens, Century 21, Corcoran, Sotheby's. Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, there's just a bunch of them that are in there. Do you feel like this was also a way of, not from a metaphoric, but from a like a positioning perspective, to be able to like say to your affiliates and others, hey guys, we're in this together and we're willing to do what it takes in the short term to make sure we come out the other end, you know, stronger? Like, do you think it had something to do with that too?
Well, it certainly did have an effect on our affiliates who, you know, were very grateful that we did it. So yep. Absolutely. And I mean, you know, the main reason why it was done was because we want to preserve cash. So, you know, companies that have cash on hand in the bank are gotcha. The companies that are going to survive and come out of this strong, and in many cases, even stronger.
Allows you to come from a position of strength overall. So believe me, I completely get that. That's awesome. Tell me, because nobody gets to a position that has the three letters CEO, unless you're just a, you know, an entrepreneur who has nobody who works for you and puts on Twitter, you're the CEO of whatever. But no real CEOs that have actual employees and actual salaries and those kind of things got there by accident. Give us kind of like a brief overview of like, how did you get here? You know, like what happened in your life? Like what was the process that got you to this point to where that finally happened? Like, how did it happen?
Well, that's a question that I'll give you the short version of. You know, I am a girl from London, Ontario, Canada, that started selling real estate and realized that some people this happens to and some people it doesn't. But, you know, you have an epiphany where you realize the highest and best use of you as an individual, right. How you can make the most and the most difference in the industry that you're in. So I started selling real estate and I liked it, but I knew that I could do more. I got my broker's license, became a broker, ended up working for a very large Canadian company, transitioned to the US, ended up at Realogy, and launched the Better Homes and Gardens brand and now the expansion brands. And, you know, here's some of my kind of guiding principles is that I've always given back and I haven't asked for anything in return. So the more you do that, the more opportunities come your way as a person. I firmly believe in that. And I've always managed with humility. Being humble to me is also an important attribute. And people are drawn to leaders, I believe, who show humility in their management right. style. And so, listen, Jared, it was a long 30-year journey.
Exactly.
So it didn't happen overnight, but I can tell you, I absolutely love what I do. And, you know, I feel as though each and every day I get up and I'm serving my franchisees and their agents and also the industry as a whole.
Was there, that makes complete sense, by the way. And I like how you said that, you know, it's a long 30 years, meaning there's all sorts of things that happen. And, you know, I'm sure there's times when you feel like you're not on track and you feel like giving up and you feel like, you know, like, I mean, look, you and I know, I mean, it's, that's not Instagram worthy, but it's part of what comes with anybody who succeeds in anything. I'm always curious when I'm talking to somebody who's achieved anything in their life, like, have there been defining moments in your life that were either going to push you forward or hold you back, or has it all been pretty gradual?
Like, oh, absolutely defining moments. So, and you know, some of the most defining moments happened with setbacks, where you, you know, you're faced with a setback or things aren't going the way that you want them to, or you have self-doubt.
Yeah.
And we all go through that. And those are private things that we don't necessarily share publicly. But after, you know, an incident like that, you have a breakthrough and you think, I can do this. And here's how I'm going to do it. And so, you know, first and foremost, and I say this to everyone out there, and I know you know this, Jared, because you practice it. First and foremost, you have to believe in yourself.
Right.
And if you believe, that's how you got to where you are, you know, you recognize the highest and best use of you as an individual wasn't necessarily selling real estate, but it was helping motivate others.
By the way, I literally had to make that decision. Everybody always asked me, like, you know, why? Because I was very successful in real estate. And they're like, why did you make the change? And I'm like, let me tell you why I didn't. I didn't make the change because of I had daddy issues and I needed attention on a stage. Like, that is the worst reason for people to be getting up in front of people and doing, it's not about them at all, right? But I do remember the moment when I was talking to my wife and I'm getting pulled in many different directions where I'm still selling, but then I'm getting asked to go do all this stuff. And I'm going like, I didn't even know, you know, second grade career day that doing this was an option. I didn't even know that was an option. But I literally made a decision at that moment, even though I didn't know in the short term how to monetize it. I was going to give up an extremely profitable real estate career, which is something that nobody ever talks about. Those first 2 years are so freaking difficult because you go from that lifestyle, making money, whatever, to, but I had a moment where I said, where do I belong? Where is my calling? Where do my gifts lie? Where can I have a greater impact? And that's literally what did it for me, was that right there.
Which that's great. And so, you know, you had your own epiphany. I call it an epiphany where you wake up and say, I can do this and I'm going to go on and do something different that actually is able to help more people than just the customers that I was serving, you know, in buying and selling real
estate. Which, by the way, it's also about you being where you should be. Like, there's nothing wrong with people servicing customers and doing, if that's where you're supposed to be. I said to you on the, you know, and on the phone, what are we, 1984? I said to you right before we started this, and I said, you know, life is a chessboard and, you know, many different people are different pieces on that chessboard. And too many people are trying to be kings and queens when they're supposed to be a rook. Mm-hmm. And the issue is that you're never going to be happy as a king or a queen because it's not where you were supposed to be.
Right.
So part of it is recognizing your gifts, recognizing your talents, and then going all in on that because you're needed in that, right? Did you ever have so when I talk about like moments in your life and those kind of things, did you ever see anything happen with someone else that ultimately led to drive for you, like somebody in your family struggle or somebody in your, or no, was it just, again, like it wasn't about that for you? Like, did you ever watch someone else, or was there ever a moment when something else happened around you and you just kind of went, that can't happen. Like, did that ever happen?
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, you have setbacks in your family or other family members where you think, wow, like we're all very vulnerable as human beings. And yeah. I need to make sure that I push ahead. When we were talking earlier, you know, before we turned this on about the chess game and, you know, what I thought immediately, it reminded me of one of my mentors, and I've always had a mentor of different types throughout the years. But one of my mentors at one point said to me, you know, Sherry, not everybody needs to be the leader, but some people are destined to be it if you realize it. And so that mentor really pushed me to move, you know, on and into the next level where, you know, maybe it never would have happened.
Don't you worry about leaders who just want to be leaders? Like, don't you worry about, like, I worry about people who want to be on the stage, like when they have nothing in their background that is, you know, like worthy of going and teaching anybody about, or, you know, or people who just want to be the leader, like whatever. I worry about it because I feel like within every great leader, number one is the realization that it could have been anyone else. And there's a million reasons why they could be disqualified. You know what I mean? And I also believe that in every great leader, while they completely ride in full confidence and knowing that they're in their lane, they're always pulling from the other side of humility too, at the same time. And to me, that's what keeps you from going too far from the person, which I can't stand as well, which is completely discrediting themselves. I'm not sure why anybody would listen to me. I'm not sure. Nobody wants to follow that person. But then also that line between confidence and arrogance, You know, where a confident person who has humility, you love to follow them and you want them to win. But you go that 3 inches further, and now you became an arrogant person that nobody wants to follow. Like, do you find that in people that you deem followable to, or am I off on that? Like, is there something else I'm missing?
You know, here's what I'm going to say about that is that and this is what I tell people, and it's what I did myself. And I'll use the launch of Better Homes and Gardens as an example, where I just block those people out because, you know, again, you have to go back within yourself and believe in yourself. When I launched BH&G, which happened to be in another very, very bad period, 2008.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a different thing that, you know, a different bad period.
Another challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a challenge. So I launched that brand and, you know, I got up and I thought to myself, I wonder if anybody's going to buy a franchise and, you know, whether they'll believe in this brand. I believed in it from day one.
The truth is you're thinking that inside. Like exactly. I completely get that. Like I remember launching coaching and going, I know I could help people, but like, is someone really going to give me their credit card? And like, you know,
but
really,
they did.
Like, are they, yeah, you know, but I get it. Like that's,
they did.
Yeah.
You know, I was at a conference shortly after launching BH&G and a couple of people came up and to me and said, you know, people are talking about you. And so I said, oh, you know, what do they have to say? They say you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, we'll see.
Yeah, that's all you need, right? That's all you need.
I did. Like we shouldn't be disparaging each other. And that should never happen. But let me tell you that back in 08 was a very challenging time for our industry. This is potentially, if we let it be, a challenging time within our industry, but it shouldn't be. So let me share with you, Jared, over the past 7 days at BH&G, we have sold 5 new franchises, 5 companies have signed.
I was going to ask you about that. I was going to ask you if that continues right now, like where
Absolutely.
Do you go?
And ERA, we have 2 very large companies that we're working with on merger and acquisition opportunities.
Awesome.
So, you know, what happens in a time where people are frightened, let's face it, you know, many people are, they're frightened about what the future is going to look like.
Yeah.
If there's a partner that you can, you know, trust and start to work with, that's a comforting thing. And so that's what I want to be for people within our industry now.
And do you think right now during this time, like you mentioned adding those 5 and adding those 2, like, you know, or working with those 2 on acquisitions and such, do you think at this time companies and otherwise are looking at, like, you know, who's stable, who's, you know, like, are they looking to move, or are they looking to clamp down and whatever? What's been your experience?
Well, I think right now that there will be companies, let's talk about it from the brokerage end of things first, that not everyone is going to make it through this. So brokers that do not have a lot of cash on hand, and, you know, this took them completely by surprise. There's a chance that some of them may not make it through. And so there will be some consolidation that takes place within the industry. We're working on some of that right now. And that is a given. And so as long as that consolidation allows for the broker that wants to, you know, exit right now, as long as it all works out in everyone's favor and we're able to make it work, great. So that's number one. That will happen. And it's already starting. And number two, from an agent's perspective, is that agents are going to migrate to a place that they feel comfortable. It's their business home, and they feel that they're going to get the best long-term care by way of services and technology and support. And that's already starting to happen as well.
Do you think though, that going through this right now, do you think on the anthem, on the poll of, you know, importance for places, do you think that stability just went up the ladder? Like, do you think that's something that maybe didn't enter people's mind previous? I mean, when you're in like a booming market and everything's happening and everything's, you just start to think that you're bulletproof and nothing can happen and, you know, whatever. And if it's not the case, just let me know. But like, do you think that this forced people to actually look and say, you know what, that actually does matter right now?
Yes, I do. And
are you hearing that from people, or is that just like a...
Oh, absolutely hearing it and seeing it, seeing movement taking place. And you know what? I respect all of our brands, you know, the six brands within Realogy, the competitive brands out there. I look at their leaders as strong leaders. We always make sure when we're at events and conferences together that we network and talk. And so I respect everyone out there. And I think that every brand has a great value proposition for what they believe. The agents will go to where they feel comfortable.
And don't you think, like, having said what you just said, and I really believe this, first off, anybody who gets into real estate, they're already, in my mind, not a winner in the sense that everybody's a winner, but the fact that you take that risk outside of, you know, a guaranteed salary, a guaranteed healthcare, a guaranteed, you know, whatever it happens to be, you have to already respect that person. Like, there's just, and I truly do believe, and I, you know, sometimes people will ask me, because, you know, I work with a lot of brands. I work with a lot of companies. I don't work with anyone. Like, I'm not on the staff of ERA, the staff of, you know what I mean? I work with all of them. And a lot of people will say to me behind the scenes or over a happy hour, and they'll say, well, you know, which one's really the best? Like, do you really, you know, there's no way you really like that company over there. There's no way that you really. And yet the truth of the matter is, you know, I believe there's a seat for every butt. There is something good, something positive in almost, I won't say all, because there's some that I won't work with, but almost all of the companies that are out there. It's almost like I can't stand it when I hear people tear down somebody who's built something, because I know how difficult it is to do. Like, there's certain people even in the coaching ranks, that, you know, have been around for a while, whatever. And a lot of times people will try to get me to bash them, you know, publicly or do whatever. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I can disagree with how somebody does something. I can disagree in a method way somebody does it. I can disagree with whatever. But one thing that I won't disagree with, or the one, anybody who's built anything, I have total respect for you, because what I found is that people who build stuff don't tear down other people who build things because they know how freaking difficult it is. Right.
I agree with you.
So you've got a brand, you got a company, and you may think you're better. You may, you know, have reasons why you recruit against them. You may, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But if somebody's in business in real estate and anybody's gone to them and they've got agents and they're doing something, right?
Absolutely.
And from a competitive standpoint, to not acknowledge that is like, it's not realistic.
It's like, not, because when you think about the number of companies, the number of brands, and the number of agents that we have across the country, there's something for everyone. And,
right.
You know, again, as I said earlier, what we need to do is all work together collaboratively to raise the bar within this industry. And
you ever tell people you're better off over there?
Yes, absolutely. You know, because with brokers, let's say a prospective broker for either BH&G or ERA, if, you know, I don't think that it's a good cultural fit, I'll tell them that. I want to help people. The last thing I'd want to do is bring someone into one of my networks that wasn't a good fit, because you want to set someone up for success, not failure.
And then you also lose the respect of the people in the network. Like, I can't tell you how often I've had conversations with, I've had conversations with brokerages under your brand who are clients of mine, where they've literally gotten rid of someone and they've said, I won't do that again, because they pulled somebody on because they had a lot of signs out there, a lot of houses they were selling, a lot of whatever. And they lost the respect of people in the office, because they're like, that person doesn't belong here. That person doesn't fit our culture. Like, it doesn't. So what they thought they were doing well, it ended up backfiring, and lesson learned.
You know, the strongest companies, Jared, out there, both real estate companies and real estate brands, are those companies built on a strong culture.
Right.
And that's really the foundation. And so if there are companies out there that don't really have a culture, it's going to show, and certain types of agents will be drawn to companies like that. But the strongest companies and brands are those that have a very, very well-defined and strong culture. It's so important.
I always say great marketing doesn't just attract the right people, it repels the wrong ones. And and when you understand that great marketing doesn't just attract the right people, it repels the wrong ones, ultimately you're going to bring in the people that belong there and you like being around, and you like, you know, it's not about just everybody, you know?
Exactly.
Where do you think we are? I mean, it's going to sound like a fastball, but it's not, because I want a real answer on this, because I've got some feelings about this. Where do you think we are from the perspective of technology right now in the real estate industry? Are we just right? Are we too much? Are we in need of more? Like, what is your overall feeling on where we are right now as an industry? Because one thing that was absolutely exposed in some areas of real estate with technology right now was that we're an economy now where technology is no more, you know, if you were still keeping your files in a file cabinet when this all just went down, you were completely exposed, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously in that area, when it comes to the participants, the people in the industry catching up, that needs to happen. But overall in the industry, when you see what's being introduced, what's here, what's whatever, too much, too little, just right, what do you think?
Well, one thing that I do think is that the current state of affairs with COVID-19 and the way we do business moving forward will push us to be even better at technology from an end-to-end perspective, mm-hmm. from a customer servicing perspective, right. and customer satisfaction perspective. So what that means is that we're not there yet, and we're all working hard towards it. Believe me, we are. But you know, as you know, you've been in this industry for a long time, myself yeah. longer, is that we never seem to catch up as far as technology is concerned.
You know, we'd be a little bit behind.
Yeah, we're always a little bit behind. And, you know, for those of us who say, you know, we can all say we have the best technology, et cetera. We all have great technology.
It's really all that matters
different than everyone else's.
If we're really talking about it, it's about adoption. Like I get tired of, you know, brokers and everything else that just like, here's what we have. And it's really just to check the box to say we have them when the broker themselves doesn't even know how to use that tool.
Well, you know, that's like, the adoption. You're right on with that. I'm telling you, because, we track adoption rates wholeheartedly each and every day. And, to get the agents, fortunately, I can say I like our adoption rates from an agent perspective, but you know, let's look at the consumer, the most important part of this transaction. If right. people aren't buying and selling homes, we're out of business. Are they satisfied with the start to finish of a transaction? I'm going to say no, because in 2019, I had three real estate transactions personally. And yeah. although every agent that I dealt with was great, and they went above and beyond, the technology piece of it was not perfect.
Not in a world where they're one clicking on Amazon.
Correct.
Not in a world where that, you see, now the reason I asked you the question is, I agree with everything you just said. I wonder sometimes in our industry if we get to the place where more isn't necessarily better. And what I mean by that is, and that's why I said adoption is what matters. I feel like every other day there's 12 new companies introducing the exact same technology that is already there. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, because brokers and others don't understand, it all comes down to who's the best salesperson. And they just keep switching, reintroducing to the agents. And after a while, the adoption just goes way down. And you know, it comes from a good place. They want to have technology in the industry. I just get to a place where it's like, look, more doesn't mean it's better. Let's learn the stuff that we actually have, because simply having access to it but not using it, I like to say if you're starving and there's a steak in front of you, it doesn't fulfill your hunger. Like, you have to take a bite. So all yeah. the tech that's being offered, if agents don't use this as a wake-up call right now to understand that it's a non-optional thing now, not just for you and your business, but what you mentioned, the experience of the consumer. Because if they don't start getting that experience, it doesn't take that much for them to realize there's so many other options and someone else is going to fill that role.
Well, exactly. And, you know, it really is from a consumer experience. It's making sure that you exceed the consumer's expectations. You surprise and delight them. But I like what you said about simplicity and, a good quality, simple technology. And so I'll use the analogy of clothes. Or shoes, I like both, but I would rather have less of both, which I do, but exceptional quality. I want somebody to look at my shoes and say, whoa, these are incredible, rather than have 150 pairs.
You might wear them three times this week. But they're
exactly
amazing.
But they look good. And so for me, quality over quantity is the way I roll. And that's what I believe in all aspects of life.
What do you think is going to happen as a result of this, this quarantining, like this, it's globally now, like everybody's doing this, everybody's disconnected from the perspective of like touching each other, whatever. Obviously with social and internet and, us doing stuff like this, we've said, hey guys, let's still get that connection. Let's chat. Let's whatever. What do you think the actual impact is going to have on the industry? Do you think it'll have any impact on how the industry actually runs? Do you think it's going to have any, what impact do you think
Absolutely.
That's going to have?
I think that we will move to a, we'll be more comfortable with a virtual environment, and we'll find ways to provide that exceptional customer service virtually and not necessarily face-to-face as often.
You think this forced agents, because let's face it, they all know they should do video. They watch people like me and others on video. They like consuming video, but they weren't necessarily at scale ready to video themselves, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think one of the byproducts of this is that people are they're forced right now to become more comfortable with video, and that's a win in the end?
I have had so many, Jared, first Zoom meetings with companies and offices over the past 2 weeks where—
Did they try to not turn their video on at first?
Well, they learned how to do it. And so here's the reaction. Has been so enlightening because suddenly it's a whole new world where I can talk to agents and brokers, and you and I can talk like this.
Yeah,
it's almost like we're.
It's so personal. Like even really when we first turned this on, I felt like you and I were hanging out. Like we're just like, hey, what's going on? You
it's
walked over. More. You got your. You saw me going. Like I mean, it's just.
No. Yeah. It's more personal because you saw the inside of my home today, you probably wouldn't. And so I'm seeing the insides of agents' homes, and brokers' homes, and the dog comes over and walks across.
They're telling their kids to be quiet.
Exactly, and so I like it. It kind of tears away some barriers that we all want to be perfect all the time.
There you go. That's exactly right.
And now we're all human beings, and we need to re-kickstart this real estate business and the economy as quickly as possible, but we're going to do it in a different way.
I like to say it's about connection, not perfection. Mm-hmm. Video is always about connection, not perfection, and people don't connect with perfect people. So while you're doing everything you can and doing 26 takes and doing everything in your power to make sure it looks perfect, all you're doing is making sure and working harder that they don't connect with you. And that's a problem, right? So where do you think agents and brokers should be focused right now? Like, do you have a certain focus they should have daily?
Yes.
Where do you think agents and brokers should be focused right now?
I'll tell you agents first. So agents should be focused on, and I'm going to use a friend of mine in the Bay Area as an example. I talked to him not this weekend, but the weekend before. So I said, what are you doing? And he said, I have 21 listings in the San Francisco Bay Area. And he said, right now I am working on convincing those owners not to take the properties off the market, because no matter how short or long we're in this, people are going to continue to look at real estate online. And so that's number one. Number two, I am
even more so.
Even more so. Number two is I am making sure that all of my listings look beautiful. So if some of the pictures weren't perfect or the verbiage around the pictures, I'm going in and making sure that all of my listings look beautiful and very appealing online.
Right. Spending the extra time you might not have spent.
Because what happens. We slap the stuff up there and think, it's going to get 15 offers in
a day.
So we don't have to do that work.
Yeah.
Now we have to do the work. So that's number two. Number three, he said, I am taking the time to go into my database and reach out to people that I haven't spoken to or heard from in a long time, because those could be now clients of the future. And you can rest assured that nobody else is reaching out to these people. And so that's what he is doing. And I thought that is amazing advice for agents. From a brokerage perspective, the smartest brokers and you know some of them because you've worked with some,
yep,
are saying, I am looking at my company right now, and I'm going to make the right decisions for this time period. Does that mean maybe not renewing a couple of leases, consolidating offices, looking at how we can do business in a more efficient way, and how I can make sure that my cash flow remains there and that I'm able to work through this? Yes. And so that's from a brokerage perspective. And what I say to brokers is, you know, like, are you taking advantage of opportunities? And so the smart brokers say to me, yes, but I'm not taking advantage of people.
Yeah.
I'm taking advantage of opportunities. We should not be taking advantage of each other during this time, but the opportunities that present themselves, yes, take advantage
of. This may have opened people's eyes to a lot of things that they weren't aware of before. You know, I'm a big believer right now that one of the opportunities coming in the market is that as retail's gone down because of Amazon, I thought they were going to get filled with commercial space, but now a lot of people are realizing, hey, we can work from home. So that means commercial space isn't going in there, which means it's probably, population's not necessarily going down. Means it's probably going to get filled by apartments being built and condos being built, and you know, all of those kind of things happening, because as you look at these global markets decreasing right now, the way money works is that it comes out and it goes somewhere else. It just moves around. Mm-hmm. And as you know, as a lot of these realities have hit and people have been taking their money out of stock markets and other places, I bet that a lot of them are going to look up when the sun comes out and everybody says, go back to work, and say, hey, you know what never decreased 20% in a day? Real estate. Maybe I need to go look at that. So there's some real opportunities coming for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, another thing, and this is like maybe lighthearted, but when we think about the fact that we'll all have worked in our homes for maybe months,
yeah,
certainly weeks, it might be time to move after that. Yeah. And, right?
Well, I mean, after months locked up there, people are going to have to move. They might need more bedrooms. So it's very possible. How's that for
life? Totally, you know, like for a whole host of reasons. But
or they're going to need two separate houses because they're ready to kill each other.
That could happen too. So, you know, it's all that, yes, our world will change. Our industry will evolve. And those, you know, vacant commercial spaces will
change
into something. Yeah. And we'll all be fine. But, you know, it's really important to try and keep a positive attitude during these times, and think about the fact that we can make a difference personally in the changes that are going to take place. Don't just sit back and wait for things to happen. Be proactive.
I'm curious on that note. What or who do you follow or read or whatever for either inspiration or just information, or, you know, are there people, are there places, what or who do you consume?
Well, that's a good question. You know, don't follow anyone in particular.
Right.
However, you know, I do read a lot of business journals like the Wall Street Journal, Harvard Business Review, from a business perspective. From a spiritual perspective, I find that I'm best after I meditate each and every morning. I do that for 20 to 30 minutes every morning. And it just brings out, you know, the most positive thoughts and feelings for the day. So there are so many people to follow, and you know, they're all good. I think what you have to do is find someone that you identify with.
Speaks to you, that when they say it, it matters.
You, that speaks yeah. to you. So yeah. I like to clear my head and try and, you know, attack the tasks at hand, do the worst things first.
Get it done while you got the energy.
And all that stuff.
Yeah, all the stuff. And by the way, I can't. Like I say it all the time. I think that we live in a world right now. It's great that there's so much content, but I think there's almost too much content. Meaning that you can listen to two different gurus who are both very successful that have completely opposing advice. And if you listen to both of those gurus, all you do is leave in confusion and don't do anything.
Exactly. Like,
you've got it. Just about everything works if you work it enough and you work it long enough and you're consistent enough. Like, you got to find the people whose voice speaks to you. And when they say something, like, it makes you move. And it's not about being a cult leader and, you know, whatever. But you got to find the people that speak to you and stop listening to everything that's out there, because all you're going to get is confused.
You're just going to get confused. And, you know, it's, I, I mean, I used to until like 2 weeks ago, I used to read the New York Post every morning because, you know, I thought that gives you like the real news, you know, hardcore.
Right.
And now I've stopped that because it's all about, you know, who's not doing what around coronavirus. And so I'm thinking, I'm not reading that. So, you know, I'm trying to
you be careful with what you fill yourself with.
You have to. And so I want the facts and just the facts.
Yep.
And, you know, I want to spend time thinking about how I can make a difference and how I can help people.
Especially, by the way, people in your position, people in my position, like it's so important what we put in because others look to us to then not feed them, but kind of like feed off of, you know, like that energy, that whatever. So you really have to be careful with what you're putting in on a regular basis, because at some point it's not even just about you anymore. It's about what it is that you are radiating to all the people around you, right?
Exactly.
So, I agree.
Yeah.
So tell us real quick. First off, love the fact you came in here. I'm loving this too. Great conversation. I could do this for the next
Thank
two
you.
Hours.
Me too. We could keep going forever.
I know, right? But I know we both have to get to. So if people want to follow you, ask you follow-up questions, want to whatever, where can they do that?
They can do that on any of the social sites. So I'm very active on... And everything is at Sherry Criss, or on Facebook, I have two accounts. One is Sherry Criss and the other one is Sherry O'Neill Criss. That O'Neill's my maiden name. And you can message me on there on Instagram.
Do you have any problem with people messaging you directly?
Absolutely not. You know, I encourage it and embrace it. And I don't care where you're from, where you live, who you're affiliated with. I have many, many friends in this industry from all walks of life. So would love to connect. The only thing on Facebook is that I've reached my 5,000 limit on the one account.
You get messages from people I do all the time and they're like, why haven't you accepted my, I'm like, I don't know.
So I have to go in. I try and go in and delete people, but I love social, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook.
You're on all of it.
Insta. I'm on all of them. So, you know, let's connect and share.
When we send it out, we'll put links to everything there for you. But I appreciate you being so willing to share and talk and, you know, have some fun. For everybody on here, we're going to take this. We're going to put it on my YouTube channel. We're going to take the audio from it, put it on the podcast so you guys can continue to connect with Sherry and do those things. If you have any direct questions for me, you can post them here. You can go to connectwithjared.com. All the social profiles are there, so you can just go right to it and do that. This will probably be up on the podcast in the next week to 10 days. Sherry, hold on 1 second here, but I'm going to say to all of you guys, if you enjoyed this, leave a comment, like it, tag someone that should listen to this. Go ahead and share it. We would love that. But appreciate you all being on. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, there's a few things that I'd like you to do. Subscribe, share this with someone you know that you think would also benefit from it. Leave a review on the platform that you're listening on. And do me a favor, go over to connectwithjared.com. Connect on all the platforms I'm on, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube, all these places. And do me a favor, leave me a message. Let me know what you enjoyed about the episode. And more importantly, let me know what you'd also like to hear about moving forward.